Our first reading will be found this morning on page 1445 in your pew Bibles. And we'll be reading from the book of Micah, chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortresses. We will raise against them 7 shepherds, even 8 commanders, who will rule the land of Assyria. Our next reading is found on page 1846. And this is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Instructions on worship. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to know a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. And our last reading is on page 1830. The book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Final exhortations. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our message this morning is actually going to come from Luke. That's where we're going to start anyway. And Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. So if you open your pew Bibles to page 1589. This is Mary's song. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with the good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again that we may come and assemble and be able to worship you and to praise you. We'd ask that you'd guard our hearts, our minds, and our words this morning, so that you may be glorified in all that we do. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, I'm going to start out with a public service announcement. Guys, this is definitely for the guys. It's time to do your Christmas shopping. So I hope all of you have that task already taken care of. Because this Sunday, as we lit the candle of peace, it's the only way you're going to really have peace of mind now, isn't it? It's the only way we have peace to know what we need to accomplish, we've accomplished. And that's what Christ came to do. He came to bring us peace because he's the peace that passes all understanding. Sometimes you guys are like me. You're not exactly loving the shopping business, right? How many of you ever go with your wives, guys, and you feel like you're guarding a shopping cart? Like she browses. Come on. I want a little honesty here, guys. I can't be alone in this. I know the other day I was in Sam's Club with Bonnie. We went up there, and I think she had a specific goal in mind. I don't know what it was exactly. All I know is I ended up holding the shopping cart, pushing it around. Standing watch over it, you know, even when there wasn't anything in it. It's like, are you kidding me? I don't think anybody's going to steal this shopping cart. But I'm standing there. And so then we start to browse because she loves to browse. I don't know exactly what she was looking for, but eventually we ended up with a shopping cart full of stuff. But I'm standing there at one point, and I think I'm near the vegetable counter. I'm standing there, and I'm guarding this, and I'm looking around, and I see three other guys guarding shopping carts. Looking real bored. I'm assuming they are waiting on their wives, too. And anyway, I got to thinking about that, and I got to think about when do we really find peace at Christmas time? Are we standing there guarding our shopping carts? Are we guarding Christmas? Or maybe we need a little distraction. Like, I got thinking about distractions. What can I do while I'm guarding my shopping cart? And I really couldn't think of anything, but I got looking later, and I got studying and getting prepared for my sermon, and so I found this little story, and I wanted to read it to you. And it was titled, Just a Man Shopping with His Wife. So let me read you this. This guy writes, he says, after I retired, my wife insisted that I accompany her on trips to the local department store. Unfortunately, like most men, we know this, guys, I found shopping boring and preferred to get out. Equally unfortunate, my wife is like most women. She loves to browse. So yesterday, my dear wife received the following letter from the local store manager. Dear Mrs. Harris, over the past 6 months, your husband has caused quite a commotion in our store. We cannot tolerate this behavior and have been forced to ban both of you from the store. So our complaints against your husband, Mr. Harris, are listed below and are documented by our video surveillance cameras. On July 2nd, he set all the alarm clocks in the housewares to go off in 5-minute intervals. On July 7th, he made a trail of tomato juice on the floor leading to the women's restroom. On July 19th, he walked up to an employee, told her in an official voice, code 3 in housewares, get on it right away. Well, this caused the employee to leave her assigned station and receive a reprimand from her supervisor, and that in turn resulted with a union grievance, causing her management to lose time and costing the company money. And we don't have a code 3. On August 4th, he went to the service desk and tried to put a bag of M&Ms on Lele. August 14th, he moved the caution wet floor sign to the carpeted area. August 15th, he set up a tent in the camping department and told the children shoppers, and he invited them in if they would bring pillows and blankets from the bedding department, to which 20 children responded.
on August 23rd. When a clerk asked if they could help him, he began crying and screaming, "Why can't you people just leave me alone?" And then EMTs were called. Well, on September 4th, he looked right into the security camera and used a mirror while he picked his nose. On September 10th, while handling the guns in the hunting department, he asked the clerk where the antidepressants were. On October 3rd, he darted around the store suspiciously while loudly humming the Mission Impossible theme. On October 18th, he hid in the clothing rack, and when people browsed through, yelled, "Pick me, pick me." October 22nd, when an announcement came over the loudspeaker, he assumed the fetal position and screamed, "Oh no, it's those voices again." Well, last but not least, on October 23rd, this is the straw that broke their back, he went into the fitting room, shut the door, waited a while, then yelled very loudly, "Hey, there's no toilet paper in here." Well, I definitely don't recommend you guys do any of these while you're staying in their board guarding their shopping cart. You need a different way to find peace of mind and find some peace in your life. So, the Advent season's here. Christmas is on us. And it's real easy for us to get distracted and we don't focus on what Christmas is really all about. Because Christmas really is all about receiving and knowing the peace that passes all understanding. Because Christ is that peace. It's the only way we can receive it. When I got thinking about all this, and I got thinking, well, maybe we ought to look at Luke's gospel one more time in a different mindset, a different light of what was really going on there. So I know you're going to be busy this whole season, but if you do nothing else, you need to sit down and read chapters 1 and 2 of Luke to help us have that peace in our hearts and our souls, to know that we're doing the right things, to know what happened, what God wanted us to do, because he wants us to have peace. So when I looked at the story, I thought, we're going to go through this real quick. And so I wrote down a bunch of facts and stuff, and I think some ways we ought to look at things. So if we start in chapter 1, we start reading this Christmas story. Mary's, she's just finding, she's learned that she's pregnant, right? And so she's going to have a baby. It's by the Holy Spirit. And she's got to be scared out of her wits. Can you imagine that? She's only about 13 years old. She's betrothed to Joseph. And now an angel shows up and says, "You're going to have a child." And all of a sudden, she knows that she's going to have a child. And so what's she do? She decides she better go see her cousin Elizabeth, who's pretty old. Well, you know how long that takes, guys? That's a five-day trip. 5 days on the road. I think about that. In her travels, so she's 13. And the Bible tells us, so she went to go visit Elizabeth. Did she go alone? I had to ask. 5 day trip to go see her cousin. 100 miles away, you're going to do this on foot. Did she go alone? Chances are she didn't, but we're not really told. But we are told that she went there and she had the peace that passes all understanding growing in her womb. We can be certain that she had peace in her heart. We further read that, and if you read the rest of the gospel, we know the rest of the story, that at that time in Israel, so it was devastating for a young woman to be pregnant before she was married. I mean, it's more acceptable now, but in those days, she could have been stoned to death. Chances are, Joseph and her family and all her friends, her family, her relatives, her neighbors, they could have all deserted her, and she'd had a lifetime struggling, just trying to feed herself and her child. This is a bad situation that she was facing, yet she had peace in mind, and she had enough wisdom to go and see her aunt, Elizabeth. So she makes this trip to see her Aunt Elizabeth. Elizabeth and Zechariah now. So Luke tells us that they were righteous people. They were holy. He was a priest. And when she gets there, she finds out that her aunt is old. And she's going to have a baby, and she's 6 months pregnant. Oh, can you imagine this? Now we got this old woman who should never have a baby. She's 6 months pregnant. Mary shows up, 13 years old, going to have a baby. Her uncle Zechariah, he can't even talk. She's got to be thinking, he was so dumbfounded she got pregnant. He lost his voice. But actually, an angel took it away because he wouldn't believe. But anyway, we talk about this when we think about it. So here we have this old woman, too old to have a baby. We have this young girl who's definitely too young to have this baby. And when she arrives, what happens? The baby inside of Elizabeth, this six-month-old baby that's in her, hasn't been born yet, leaps for joy in Elizabeth's womb and announces that we all ought to have peace because the Messiah is on the way. Jesus is about to come. Can you imagine that? Now, I've never been pregnant, but I know we have lots of moms here. What was it like if your baby decided to jump up and down, celebrate because another child was coming? A child who wasn't even big enough to be known, right? How would you know that the mother of our Savior, our Lord, would be coming? What a miracle we see in this. So I was thinking about this, and I'm thinking, what would you do if you were in that situation? What did Mary do? She sang for joy. That's what we read in our scripture this morning from Luke. I want to read it to you again. Mary sings. She says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts, and he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever, even as he has said to our fathers." When I look at how Mary sang, I'm thinking, what do we really need to take away? Why did Luke include that? Why did he tell us that Mary was so happy when she got there and so confident that she could sing this kind of prayer? And I thought about it, I'm thinking, what is she really trying to tell us? What do we need to make sure we take home today? And I happened to see an old Calvin and Hyde, one of those cartoons you remember from the Family Circus. I remember seeing them. We used to get papers. They had Family Circus in them. They usually had the pictures. You remember them? I remember seeing one Christmas where little Billy was gone to church. And then his mom decided that she was going to take him shopping. So they go to church, then they go shopping. And he's going through the store, and he sees in all the stores, "Don't forget your last-minute shopping. Don't forget wrapping paper. Don't forget buy this. Don't forget to buy that." And he's going through it, and he's going through it, and he's looking at all these. And the next frame we see him, he's home. And he's drawing a picture. And he draws a picture of Jesus, Mary and Joseph, in the manger, and the stars there. And underneath it, he writes, "Don't forget." Don't forget. What do these candles represent? First Sunday, we have these posters on the wall. First Sunday, we lit the candle of hope. Don't forget to have hope. To have hope for the hopeless who need it the most. Then we lit the candle of love. We need to reach out and love those who are in turmoil, who are being set aside. Last Sunday, we lit the candle of joy. We need to learn to be joyful. If you guys were here last week, I'm going to remind you, just do it and be happy about it. We need to have that joy. We need to have that Christmas joy. And this Sunday, we light the candle of peace. Because of peace that passes all understanding. That same peace that we read about in Micah, that same peace that we read about in both letters that Paul wrote, that peace that passes all understanding is the peace of God. We all know that we need to have that peace. Christmas is about peace. You gotta make us all sing. As I was finishing up my sermon, I was writing and a song pops in my head, you know. And one of them songs will make sure that you understand what Christmas is all about. It should make us want to sing because of the greatest gift that we received. As we've received his gift. The gift that peace that passes all understanding. Maybe we ought to be singing, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Is that what Christmas does to you? It does for me, because I have the peace that passes all understanding in my heart, and you can have it too. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for an opportunity just once again to come in your presence, to know that you have provided for us through your Son, through the birth of your Son, through the death of your Son, that peace that passes all understanding that we can have in our hearts. Guide us this day through this Christmas season. In all things, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.